Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Judges in chapter 8, book of Judges in chapter 8, as we get back to our Wednesday night Bible study of the character, the life of Gideon, the Bible character named Gideon. And what a tremendous Bible study it is. If you'll read here in the book of Judges, the life of Gideon, there's so many biblical principles that we can apply to our lives today. And now, you know, as we study the Old Testament stories, they're more than just stories, more than just history, more than just literature. It's the Word of God, and God has preserved it just the way He wants it preserved. And when we study and we learn a biblical principle that is taught through a Bible story, you'll verify that in New Testament teachings of Christ and Christianity, and we can know this is a Bible principle that we are to hold on to and apply to our lives today. And so the life of Gideon, it has been a tremendous Bible study. And God's mighty man of valor, he was hiding from the Midianites, trying to save some of his crop. And God came to him and called him to do a mighty work. He is a champion of the so-called nobodies. If you think yourself to be a nobody, then you look at what God did with a nobody named Gideon. He had no exceptional talents, had no exceptional strengths. Yeah. He just was a man that was willing to be used. God saw into his heart, and God called him a mighty man of valor. Gideon and his 300 defeated the mighty Midianite army of 135,000. Now, we studied all that up to this point. We can't go back. I know it's been a few weeks, a couple months maybe even, since we've been studying this, but we can't go back and study all that again. But as God worked through him, God has his army down to just 300, so there's no question he didn't do it in their strength and their wisdom and their might. They did it in the might of God, the strength of God. And so he's defeated 135,000 Midianites. And now Gideon is pursuing the enemies of Israel. Now realize, this was the enemy of all of Israel. All of God's people had been oppressed by the Midianites for 7 years. And Gideon, God raised Gideon up to defeat the Midianites. Now he's pursuing them. They are the enemies of all of God's people. Knowing that, look with me to Judges chapter 8 and verse 13. Go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read verse 13 down to verse 21. Verse 13. And this Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle before the sun was up. And he caught a young man of the men of Succoth and inquired of him, and he described unto him the princes of Succoth and the elders thereof, even 70 men, 77 leaders that failed to support the man of God. And he came unto the men of Succoth and said, Behold, Zeba and Zalmunna, with whom ye did upbraid me, saying, Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thy men that are weary? And he took the elders of the city and thorns of the wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. And he beat down the tower of Penuel and slew the men of the city. Then said he unto Zeba and Zalmunna, What manner of men were they whom ye slew at Tabor? And they answered, As thou art, so they were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, They were my brethren, even the sons of my mother. As the Lord liveth, if ye had saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether his firstborn, Up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared because he was a youth. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said, Rise thou and fall upon us. For as the man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose and slew Zeba and Zalmunna and took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks. Let's pray and we'll get right into it. Father, we bow before you once again. Thank you for, again, the opportunity and the privilege to be in church, for each one that's here that took advantage of it. And now for the precious holy word of God that we can study and learn from. Pray that you'd help us, each and every one here tonight, to put everything else out of our minds, to look to you, to receive what you have for us tonight. Pray that you'd empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So as Gideon and his 300 were pursuing the enemies of Israel, they were faint and they needed nourishment. He came to two cities of Israel, of the tribes of Israel, the men of Succoth and the men of Penuel. He asked for support so that he could finish the work that God had called him to do, and that was to defeat the Midianite army. Now again, we find that they were the enemies of the men of Succoth. They were the enemies of the men of Penuel. But the men of Succoth and the men of Penuel would not support Gideon in accomplishing the work of the Lord. Now, it could be that they were still afraid because they had seen what was left of the Midianite army come through that area. What was left of the Midianite army was 15,000 soldiers. 120,000 soldiers had been slain. They actually turned on themselves, killed themselves, and there was a great slaughter there. And after the 135,000, there was 15,000 that escaped. Those are the ones that Gideon is now pursuing. But Gideon still only has, but he has, all 300. Yeah. 120,000 have already been killed of the enemy. Not one soldier of Gideon's, of his 300, had perished. But they are faint. They're in need of water. They're in need of some refreshment. They're in need of some food to energize themselves. And they are pursuing the others that had fled from them, 15,000. Now, the men of these two cities had seen 15,000. And they still are doubting whether God can deliver them into Gideon's hands. <laughs> 120,000 already been slain. God has already done a miracle. God has already worked great and mighty things. And you still won't get behind the work of God? You're still afraid of the world? You're still afraid of what the world thinks? And because you're afraid of persecution, you're afraid of what the world thinks, you still will not take a stand with Gideon to support Gideon because you saw 15,000 and your faith was not strong enough to believe that he was going to be able to complete the task and destroy the other 15,000. Wow. That's what's happening here. Afterwards, when they failed to support Gideon, we find that Gideon gave warning of judgment and continued to pursue after their enemy. Verse 7, look there with me, chapter 8, verse 7. Gideon says, "Wherefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna," that's the two kings with the 15,000 soldiers. "When the Lord hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars." Can I tell you that judgment is not to be sugar-coated? He wasn't sugarcoating what would take place. He was telling them that they would experience the judging hand of God. And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zebah and Zalmunna into mine hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. That was capital punishment back then. Basically, that's what they would do. They would beat them till they died. That would have been the capital punishment. He's saying, because you're treason, you are not supporting, then the penalty, the judgment is capital punishment. If I return, this is what's going to happen. So you're betting your life on me not returning. You're betting your life that I cannot, with God's help, destroy the other 15,000 and return with the two kings. This is the judgment, and you know what's going to take place. Now listen, he is warning them. He gave them warning of judgment, and he continues to pursue, with or without their help. And he went up thence to Peniel and spake unto them likewise. And the men of Peniel answered him as the men of Succoth, and he answered him. And he spake unto the men of Peniel, saying, when I come again, can I tell you that Gideon said it in a very confident voice? Not if I come again. When I come again, I am confident that God has allowed us to defeat 120,000 in the manner which we defeated them without losing one soldier. I am very confident that these other 15,000 are going to fall in the very similar way. The men of Peniel answered him, the men of Succoth, and he answered him, and he spake also unto the men of Peniel, saying, when I come again in peace, I will break down this tower. When Jesus comes again, amen, there's going to be a judgment. Yeah. A tribulation period after he takes his church out. He's warned the world of that. He's warned the church of that. He's warned all people of that. There will be a tribulation period. My people will not go through that. I will call them up. But there will be judgment. And after the millennial reign, there's going to be a great white throne judgment. I'm giving you warning. Wow. A failure to support God's will is taking a stand for evil. A failure for them to take a stand with Gideon was taking a stand with the Midianites. A failure to give the men of Israel the nourishment and the support they needed to be able to defeat the Midianites was a lack of faith, a disbelief in God, and if you will, supported the enemy. Supported those that were against Israel. They had the same common enemy. Can I tell you that the old devil's our enemy today? He's coming at us in a lot of different ways. We need the church of Jesus Christ to stand together in defeating the enemy as God would have us to defeat the enemy. We do that by supporting that which is of God. I've said it many times. For the born-again believer, the very least thing a Christian can do, somebody that is truly saved, is support a church that's doing the work of God. The very least. Not to have home church, not to think that you can do whatever you want to do as a born-again believer. As a born-again believer, you are part of the family of God and you are part of the army of God, and the very least any Christian can do is get involved in a church that is doing the work of God and support the work of God. Amen. Yeah, very least. And those that are not, a failure to support God's will is taking a stand for that which is against God. How do you know that? Well, not only do we find that Gideon is revealing that to the rest of these men, but Jesus says something about that too. Matthew chapter 12, let me read it to you, write it down. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, the Bible says this. Jesus says this, "He that is not with me is against me. He that is not supporting me, he that is not following through with my will, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." If you are not gathering with him, then you are scattering abroad. Wow. Can I tell you the biblical principle? Gideon is telling them, if you're not with me, you're against me. And if you're against me, that means you're standing for the enemy, and there will be a judgment for that. And he's warning them of the judgment to come. That's good stuff. Yeah. There's no neutral ground. Some people say, well, I'm not for either side. No, just leave me alone. There's no neutral ground. To not to stand with him, you're standing against him. Wow. The warning should be reason enough to repent and do right. The warning was given not so that he looked forward to carrying it out. The last thing that Gideon wanted to do was have to come back and then follow through with the warning of judgment. He would have much rather them to take heed to the warning, to get right with God, so they would not have to be judged. The warning should be reason enough to repent and do right, unless you don't believe it. As a boy, one of the things that I was 100% assured of, if my dad gave me a warning, he was going to follow through with it. If my dad says, boy, if you don't have this done when I come home, this is what I'm going to do to you. I had no doubt in my mind. If I didn't have that done, I was going to get it. Exactly the way God told, or my dad told me that I would get it. Amen. And the warning was enough to cause me to do right. The warning was enough to cause me to do what he said to do. When John the Baptist came, his first message to the world, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was repeated by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he opened his public ministry, the first message that he preached. Repent. Change your mind. Because the reality of heaven or hell is at hand. Change your mind, Pharisees, because you'll not get to heaven following the religion of a Pharisee. Change your mind, Sadducees, because you'll not get to heaven by the religion of a Sadducee. Whatever other seed that you see out there, whatever religion it is, change your mind, because the reality of the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus says, I'm the reality of the kingdom of heaven. No man's coming to the Father yet by me. He came and he shared with them what they needed to do. And if you believed it, you do it. If you believe that the kingdom of heaven meant if you don't go to the heaven, you're going to go to a place of hell. You have opportunity. The whole world has opportunity now because of my coming. I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. The whole world has an opportunity to turn away from religious ways, to turn away from the ways of the world, and look to me, and they can have everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For anyone who would believe that, the warning of hell and the gift of heaven should be enough to get us to repent and do what was right. To repent of not supporting and start supporting. Yeah. Whew, heaven and hell was what's at stake. So Gideon says, this is a warning. It's a warning of judgment. But he didn't want to carry out the judgment. He would have to carry out the judgment, but he didn't want to. He would rather, during this time, that they would repent and receive the gift that would be offered them. Do we believe what the Bible says? The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. If we truly believe that, how many of us would think we could get by with sin? It's a warning of God. He says, I want you to know this. Be sure. In the book of Numbers, it was God revealing to the children of Israel. He wanted them to know, Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. I see all things. Don't think that you can get by with anything. That warning is enough for us to do right unless we don't believe it. Galatians 6:7 says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Do we believe that? God just making a statement here. He said it's reality, it's true. That ought to cause every one of us to want to make sure that I'm not going to do anything that I don't want to have to reap the judgment of. I want to make sure that I'm sowing that which will lead to the blessings of God, not the judgment of God. After a warning, there needs to be a fulfillment of judgment. Any righteous person would not make a warning, would not give a warning without being ready to fulfill the judgment. Justice demands the fulfilling of judgment. They had time to repent. He left them. He said, you're not going to support us, and we're not going to stop. We're going to pursue. But I'm leaving you with a warning of judgment when I return, and I will return. In the meantime, you have opportunity to think about it. They would have opportunity to think about it, and while he was leaving, they should have thought about exactly what God had already done. God had already used them to destroy 120,000 Midianite soldiers. Why would we not think that if God was able to do that, he would not be able to give them the victory over 15 more thousand? And if they would have just thought about that and faced reality, they would have run after Gideon and said, Gideon, here is all the help we can give you. Here's all the food that you need. Here's all the refreshments that you need. We want to be on your side. We don't want to be on the side of the Midianites or the enemies. We want to support you. And they would not have to face judgment. God always extends grace before judgment. God prefer giving grace rather than judgment. But a righteous, just God has to fulfill judgment. There needs a fulfillment. There needs to be. There has to be. So Gideon defeated the armies of the kings of the Midianites. 15,000. He not only defeated them, he kept the two kings alive. He brought back the two kings as a witness before judging Succoth and Penuel. Because that's what they said. They used the two kings. Do you have them in your hand? Almost chiding with Gideon. Do you have them? What makes you think you can defeat those two kings? We just seen their 15,000 soldiers come through this area. Yeah. Verse 15. Go back with me. We're almost done here. And he came unto the men of Succoth. And he said, it's too late now. Now listen, this is what he's saying. You've had all this time since I've been gone to repent and to do right and get back on the right side of things. I've already given the warning of judgment. Now the judgment has to be carried out. And I have the two witnesses that you said I couldn't defeat. The men of Succoth and said, behold, Zeba and Zalmunna. What do you think? Those 77 leaders of Succoth thought when they seen those two kings in shackles at the feet of Gideon. Uh-oh. Yeah. Gideon wasn't smiling. It was not something Gideon wanted to do. But the warning of judgment demands the fulfillment of judgment. The warning of God's judgment throughout the Bible demands the fulfillment of judgment. The warning of hell, the wage of sin is death, that's eternal damnation, that's separation from God forever, that's a warning of judgment. But it's given so that we'll repent and get on the right side. Start doing right. But if we fail, it has to be fulfilled. Yeah. Judgment against evil is righteous, established by God, who is the definition of righteousness. But all will be judged according to what they can know of the warning of God. John chapter 12. You will never be judged by something that you didn't know that you did wrong, that you're blinded to. God has made it so that everybody on earth can know the judgments of God, the warnings of God. John chapter 12, Jesus made this very clear. In John chapter 12 and verse 46, I am come, a light. Jesus, I am come a light into the world. And whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. You just got to believe. Don't doubt it. If it's my word, believe it. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Look what he says, verse 48. He that rejecteth me receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word. The word. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The word that he spoke, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the truth of God. This is the only way, and this is what you have to look to. And nothing else. For if you don't look to this, you're going to die, and you're going to pay the wages of sin, and you're going to be cast into an everlasting lake of fire and brimstone. You're going to go to a place of hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels. I don't want you to go there. But that is the judgment for sin. Yeah. It's exactly what he was saying. It's exactly what he was saying. Turn back with me. Turn back with me. Everybody got just a couple more minutes in you? Because now we find the final judgment against Zeba and Zalmunna. And just a quick lesson here on this one. He's judging the men of Penuel and Succoth. But now he's got the two kings. And he says to them, verse 18, get over there with you. Judges chapter 8, verse 18. Then said he unto Zeba and Zalmunna, as to two kings of the Midianites, what manner of men were they whom you slew at Tabor? And they answered, "Are as thou art, and so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king." Something that they did that would have even a greater punishment. And he said, "They were my brethren, even the sons of my mother, as the Lord liveth. If ye had saved them alive, I would not slay you." He said, "You're the enemy, you're the Midianites. But even the enemy, if you would have shown just a little bit of mercy, if you would have shown just a little bit of grace, you didn't have to slay them. You could have let them be. But you didn't." If they had shown mercy, so would have Gideon shown mercy to them. He would have spared their lives. They will have still been the enemy, but he would have spared their lives if you'd have just been a little merciful. You see, the truth behind that is that God sees everything, and no good deed goes unnoticed. Even with the ungodly, their judgment in hell might not have been as severe. Their judgment on this earth might not have been as severe if you'd have just shown a little mercy. See, don't do it for the applause of man. Because if you do it, then you have your reward. Do what God would have you to do, that God might show mercy. I mean, if that's for the ungodly, if God would show a little mercy on them for showing mercy, how much more even the child of God? In closing, Matthew chapter 6. I believe this is a lesson from that last little bit there with the two kings. Matthew chapter 6, this is the teachings of Christ that applies there. Verse 1, Jesus' teaching has said, take heed that you do not your alms. Now, definition of alms, righteous acts, showing mercy, forgiving, loving, all the things that Christ would have us to do. Loving the unlovable, forgiving the unforgivable, showing mercy, righteous acts. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, your righteous acts, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. Wow. The warning of judgments. You want to study the scriptures and study the warnings that God gives us, and the warnings of judgment ought to be reason enough for us to repent and do right. As we repent and do right, don't lose sight of doing good deeds. Because God sees it all. He said to the two kings, if you would have just shown a little mercy, you would be reaping. You would not be slain. Because there was no mercy and because there was no good deeds, he first of all was going to have them humiliated to be slain by his youngest son. His youngest son didn't do that. And so we find that Gideon himself slew the two kings. But they could have received mercy themselves. What a great Bible story. What great biblical truths we can apply to our lives even today. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. So many things. Study the warnings of God. Study the truth that God reveals. And if you have need to, repent. Change your way of thinking and start doing it God's way. For God sees it all. Nothing goes unnoticed by an almighty creator God. Not going to have a musical invitation. Very seldom do we on Wednesday nights, but we always have an invitation. If God spoke to you and you need to come for whatever reason, the altar's open. You can just take care of it in your pew if you need to, but I've found that when you bring it to the altar, it just has a greater impact. Anyone else? And Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of the Gideon, what you've given to us in this Bible story and how we can apply it to our lives today. The warning was given, had to be fulfilled. But oh, what a greater blessing it would have been if they would have repented and done right. Help us to learn. Now be with us, Lord God, as we get ready to dismiss here. Get us all home safely. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.